Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
We're going to read verses 7 through 21. Here's the word of God, and he said to him, I'm the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of Kenites, the Kenazites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we pray again that you will give us, speak to us with your own word that will penetrate our heart, change our heart into the holiness of Jesus Christ. We ask you that we will be able to commune with your Son. Let us appreciate your Son's heart. Let us sit down with him and sup with him, because he is our Savior. He is the one who died for us. He is our King of Kings forever. So this time, we want to worship you and your Son and your Holy Spirit. So please be with us. You are our God. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Genesis 15, this chapter begins with Abram's fearing heart. As you remember, in the previous chapter, so chapter 14, he defeated other kings in the war. But now, contrary to that courageous event in our chapter, Abram is depressed or disheartened, exhausted. So possibly he's fearing of a possible retaliation from the enemies he has just defeated. But I believe that he's also disheartened or disappointed by his circumstances. He's unsure where his life is going. He's unsure of why he is in this difficult journey. So, in the midst of this fearing or wavering heart, God showed himself to Abram. So verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. So God encouraged or strengthened the disheartened Abram. And also God taught Abram the doctrine of justification by faith in Christ alone. Verse 6, he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. But still, that's not the whole story in Genesis 15. In our passage, we find a visual process of God's making a covenant with Abram. A covenant is a mutual agreement or contract between two parties. There is a penalty if you break the agreement. Also, there is a reward if you keep the agreement. So the concept of the covenant in the Bible is used as the framework in which God deals with his people and reveals himself to them. So this morning, we're going to observe God's establishing a covenant with Abram. So I want to point out three things about God's covenant. First, it is unconditional. Second, it is unfathomable. Third, unbreakable. Unconditional, unfathomable, and unbreakable. So firstly, God's establishing a covenant with us is unconditional. Verse 7, our passage, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. So by this time, it has been about 10 years since God called out Abram to this journey of faith. So God called out Abram in Genesis 12. But let's remember that God did not choose Abram because he was better than others. You know that, right? And he and his wife could not have their own biological child. And in those days, if you cannot have a child, you will be looked down upon by others. Also, his family was not that great spiritually. He was born in an idol-worshipping family. So if we see the earlier verses in the same chapter, Genesis 15, God took him out to see the stars in the sky. And as I said already, it was because Abram was disheartened or drained. And God reminded Abram of his greatness or of his faithfulness. So God encouraged or enabled Abram to trust and rest in him. And then our passage, verse 7, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Verse 8, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? What do we find here? Abram is still, what? Wavering. He's still unsure. In verse 6, we found marvelous, one of the most important verses in the Bible. Abram believed in God, and he was accounted as righteous. Verse 6, and so we thought, wow, Abram was great. He was a great believer. But in reality, that was not the true case. God enabled or encouraged or worked out the faith in Abram to trust in God, and God accounted it as righteous. So it was God's work. And then verse 7, God says, I'm going to fulfill my promise. And verse 8, Lord, how am I to know? Yeah. So Abram still doesn't get it. It was right before God was going to reveal his covenant to Abram. So what I want to point out here is that Abram was not qualified in and of himself to enter God's covenant. It was solely by God's mercy that Abram was invited to this covenant. So let me read our passage from verse 9. through verse 12, he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. So God told Abram to prepare for making a covenant with God, and Abram did. And afterward, what happened? Abram fell asleep. That's a good picture that shows us that God's covenant with Abram was unconditional. He was passive. Abram was passive while God was establishing a covenant with him. So it was solely by God's grace that he decided to choose and bless the weakling or wavering or undeserving Abram. That's the first point of the sermon. Now, secondly, God's covenant is unfathomable. By unfathomable, I mean that the scope of God's covenant is beyond our understanding. So God's covenant is not limited to us only. Verse 13, the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. What do we find here? God already knows when Abram will die here. He even sees the future of his descendants. So we can say that God is in charge of Abram's past and present and future. So God controls everything. He knows the destiny of other nations. For example, verse 16, you find the word, the Amorites, the destruction of the Amorites eventually took place in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. In verse 21, in our passage, the conquering of the Jebusites was made by David in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5. So it was all like way beyond Abram's understanding. So God is making a covenant with Abram, but God is foreseeing the future. In other words, Abram is making a covenant with an omniscient, omnipotent, or almighty God. So Abram is just a little part of that covenant. And also we find that Abram's descendants are in the scope of the covenant. Still, Abram doesn't have any child. But God is talking about his descendants. How can he believe that? How can he believe that he will have thousands or countless descendants like that? So God's covenant with Abram is way bigger than Abram himself. When God makes a covenant, if we can find some lesson from here quickly, when God makes a covenant with us, it is not only with us, but also with our children, right? Our confession goes down to our babies, our grandchildren and grandchildren. So in a sense, humanly speaking, we might want to say, oh, now I am in God's covenant. God is making a covenant with me. So therefore, I should expect that in God's covenant, or from God's covenant, I'm going to receive all the good things, all the good, fluffy, some pleasant things. But as we read, that's not what God was telling Abram. Whether God said, you are going to suffer. Your descendants will go through very difficult times. Then why would we want to make a covenant with God? God is making a covenant with us, saying, by the way, as you enter my covenant, you are going to suffer. And your descendants will go through sufferings as well. I'm not sure how Abraham understood God's word at this moment. If he was like me, he must have thought, why? Why is this so hard, Lord? Why should it be that hard? What is the Christian life all about? Do I have to be in your covenant even, knowing that I will go through the suffering? It is only me, by the way, who thinks that way. Sometimes you are really holy and righteous, so you don't know what I'm talking about at this moment. Yeah. We all can relate to Abraham, but let's remember that Abraham was a sojourner, right? And he knew that. And the book of Hebrews said, Abraham desired a better country, desired a better heavenly kingdom, the city of God. And God was not ashamed of being called as his God and others' God. It should be us too, right? God is not ashamed of being called as God by us. As we know that all the sufferings we can go through because Christ is with us, and through those things, eventually, we're going to taste now and ever the heavenly kingdom. Now, thirdly, already the last point of the sermon, I intentionally made the sermon a little bit short that I can be liked by you more. So thirdly, God's covenant is unbreakable. Verse 9 and 10, let me read again. He said to me, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. In Abraham's day, obviously there was no paper or no computer, so an agreement or contract was made with a ritual in which animals were cut in half, and the two parties walked between the two rows of the cut animals. So what that implies, or what that says, is that if you break the covenant, you promise that you are going to be punished by the other party, just like these cut animals. That's what they're saying. Once you go through this covenant, if you break it, you are saying, I can kill you. I can cut you into pieces, metaphorically, just like these cut animals. So when Abraham heard God's instruction, he knew that God was going to make a covenant with him. I'm not sure how much he understood what that meant, but anyway, he prepared animals and cut them in half, and he placed one half here and the other half, you know, on the other hand, facing, you know, each other. Now, the next step would be God and Abraham both are supposed to walk between the cut animals. Still, Abraham doesn't have any clue what's gonna happen. He doesn't have any clue how this is going to turn out. He's somehow scared of what's gonna happen because he has never made a covenant with God. He's somewhat scared of this imminent or unknown event. So verse 12, the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. So God is doing something now. God begins to do something. God first puts Abram in a passive mode, and total darkness or total utter solitude took place. In other words, it's a moment that God reveals himself again to Abram. His whole being, his whole majesty, his glory is now before Abram. But Abram could not handle this presence of God, this glory of God. So God put him into sleep, and total darkness and utter solitude taking place there. So God is saying basically, Abram, I don't need your strength. I don't need your wisdom to establish my covenant. It's going to be carried by my own power. It's going to be made by my own purposes and plans. You cannot handle standing before me. You cannot handle walking with me, making this covenant. So finally, verse 17, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. In the midst of this utter solitude, God is walking through the cut animals. It was God, a smoking fire and a flaming torch represented. Many times in the Old Testament, the fire imagery referred to the presence of God. As you remember, Moses in Exodus 3, when he was found by God, or when he was confronted with God, what did he see? He saw fire, burning bush, right? And God was there. And also when God gave the written law to the Israelites, what happened? All the fire appeared on the Mount Sinai. The rushing wind took place. And through that fire imagery, God represented that he was there. Likewise, in our passage, God appeared before Abram. God showed himself before Abram with the fire imagery, and he walked by himself. Interestingly, Abram was still sleeping. He was in a passive mode. Abram was not asked to walk between the cut animals. It was only God who did it. What did he say to Abram? What did God want to say to Abram? And what do we find from this God's solo walking, making the covenant or establishing a covenant? Basically, God is saying to Abram, Abram, I promise you by this covenant, if I am not faithful to you, I'll take the punishment. I'm promising you right now. I'm walking through these cut animals. If I am not faithful to you, I'll take the punishment like these cut animals. But at the same time, Abraham, I promise you, by this covenant, if you are not faithful to me, if you break the covenant, still it's going to be me who take the punishment. Abram, if you're not faithful to this covenant, it's not going to be you who has to deal with that punishment like these cut animals. Abram, if you sin against me, it's going to be me who's going to deal with this punishment like these cut animals. I'm promising you that I will deal with it. even though you fail, I'll mend it. Even though you leave me, I will remain faithful to you. I will mend my covenant again and again. So God here condescended infinite to Abram, and he swore to Abram that my whole power, my whole wisdom, my own heart is here. I'm putting my whole being here to make it successful. It's not you who's going to make it work. It is me. It is me who's going to work it out. But the question is, why? It doesn't sound like a fair agreement. It sounds like very unfair. Let me put it this way. After all, Abraham broke the covenant again and again, and his descendants also were unfaithful to God many times, countless times. Plus, did you know that you have broken the covenant as well? And did you know that you are under the same covenant that God made with Abraham? All Christians, including us, over the history, became unfaithful, sinned against God, broke the covenant again and again. Now the question is, then did God really keep his word? Did he really take the punishment? Did he really mend it by his own taking the punishment upon himself? The answer is, yes, that's the gospel, isn't it? Let me quote quickly Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Did you hear that? Christ became a curse, like the cut animals. God put to death, or metaphorically, God cut in pieces his only begotten Son to mend that everlasting covenant, because we are all sinners. Abraham could not keep the covenant. His descendants could not keep the covenant. And we, how sinful we are. Do you agree with that? How evil we are. Do you know that even? But Christ became that cut animals. God cut in pieces his only begotten Son so that his covenant would remain standing. That's why no one in Christ has to be cut in half. No one in Christ has to be cut to mend, to recompense the penalty. That's why I said God's covenant with us is unbreakable. It is unbreakable. Why? The only begotten Son died for us. That's infinitely more than enough what we did, what we sinned against our God. The blood of Christ, I want you to remember, has already been shed. His only begotten Son was already cut in pieces by his only beloved Father. Can you believe that? Can you accept that? This is the gospel. Have you realized how marvelous the gospel is? How unbelievable the gospel is? Still, I have not answered the question, why? Why did the Father God did it? Why did he do that for us? You answer me. You answer me. What does your heart tell you? What does the Holy Spirit tell you right now? What was the answer? Why did the Father God give up his only begotten Son that he loved so much? If God is for us, who can be against us? I read it already during the worship service. If God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, God loves us. But it is my inadequacy, incompetency to deliver this love of God to you. I don't have any power, ability to make you feel this amazing love of God. But that's why I pray at this moment that the Holy Spirit will grip you with his own word. Give you Jesus Christ. Restore you into the communion with Christ again if you have backslidden for a long time. Are you with Christ? Do you know Christ? Do you commune with him? You can say with Paul, no one can separate me. Nothing can separate me from what? The love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Remember, nothing, even you yourself, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is found only in Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, please restore us into the deep, intimate communion with your Son. Let us grasp the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Let us hope in him only. Let us desire him and his kingdom. Let us love him now. Let us love him with all our heart. Bless us, we pray for the sake of Christ. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.